Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 13, if you would. Brother, thank you. Brother Vern's always on top of things, and he came to me earlier and asked me if I wanted some water, and I had a water bottle, and I said, no, I'm good. Well, I misplaced my water bottle, so if you see a water bottle lying around that's half drunk, it reminds me, a few years back when Brother Turnmeyer was in the hospital, we were down there in South Carolina. I think he was having surgery that day or something. We were there, and we'd been there for a while, and I was sitting in the waiting room, and I reached down and grabbed my water bottle and finished it and got up and walked down the hallway to throw it away. And you know how sometimes being in places triggers memories? I remembered throwing my water bottle away earlier. And I just drank somebody else's half-finished water. So don't be like that. So that's what happens when you get old, though. You start forgetting stuff. Anyway, I don't have time to go into all that stuff. I mentioned earlier that Gavin and Samantha welcomed their daughter into the world this week, and we're grateful for that. I know many of you have recently had children, too, and we're excited about that. But I wanted to share with you a few things that you would never hear mom say. You would never hear mom say. Something like, how on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back? Or, just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, you got another week out of that. Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed him and walk him every day. Well, if Timmy's mom says it's okay, that's good enough for me. Curfew, that's just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. Don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. So, yeah, I know my mom never said anything like that, but in Luke chapter 13, you know, as often the case was with Jesus, he was teaching in the synagogue, and that's where we found him here in this passage in Luke chapter 13. Yeah, well, probably not, but thank you anyway, brother. Luke chapter 13, he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. You know, so often in Scripture, time and or place is mentioned. And it's mentioned for a reason. In this case, it is important because he's teaching in the synagogue. Here's a woman who has a spirit. The Bible says a spirit of infirmity. It doesn't just say an infirmity. It says a spirit of infirmity. And it had been afflicting her for 18 years. Now, I don't know why she was there. Perhaps she heard that Jesus was going to be there and she wanted to see him. Perhaps no one knew that Jesus was going to be there that day and she was just being faithful. And so I don't know her reasoning for being there. But I do know this. Jesus knew that she would be there. And if you stop and think about that this morning, it's a very comforting thought to think Jesus knows where we are. He is where we are. And I guess if we're somewhere we shouldn't be, then maybe it's not a comforting thought. But if you're dealing with something in your life right now, know this, Jesus knows about it. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray that today is, as we look into it, Father, that you would speak through me, that your spirit would do a work, the work that you would have it to do. And again, Lord, I pray that everything done here today would bring honor and glory to your name. If there's one that's unsaved today, they might trust you as Savior. And Father, help us to apply the words of your book to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I've entitled this message, Jesus Knows What We Need. There's three things about this passage here that I want to look at. First of all, her noticeable infirmity. The Bible says she was bowed together. I mean, she was almost in half. She couldn't straighten up. She couldn't walk straight. And so anyone who saw her knew that she had a problem. They knew that she had a physical problem, for sure. But what was the origin of her condition? I didn't read this in the passage. Look down at verse 16. It says, "And ought not this woman," and this is Jesus talking, "being a daughter of Abraham," so she's a Jew, "whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day." So Jesus identifies two things about her. First of all, she's a Jew. And that's not surprising that she's in the synagogue, because that was intended for the Jews and the Jewish proselytes. But he also identifies where this problem came from. It came from Satan. He had bound her for 18 years, and she had dealt with this problem. And it was interesting, as I mentioned earlier, the wording is a spirit of infirmity. It's not just an infirmity. When we think of infirmity, we think of a physical ailment, but she had a spirit of infirmity, and this was from Satan. He had bound her these 18 years. There are two different accounts in the Gospels where the word infirmity is used to describe the affliction someone had, here in Luke 13, and the others in John chapter 5. And that one, the gentleman is described as having an infirmity, but this one is the only one that where Jesus attributes that infirmity to Satan. And so the origin of her condition was Satan. But as I mentioned earlier, anyone looking at her would see her physical problem. She was stooped. She couldn't straighten up, and she couldn't walk straight. And so the obviousness of her condition was there for anyone to see. And she had been this way for 18 years. That's a long time. What a condition to suffer through for that time. You know, her condition was obvious to all who saw her, but that might not be the case for you or me today. You and I might be going through something that, just to look at us, you wouldn't know. But I know that God knows. Maybe it's a physical infirmity that you're struggling with this morning. God knows. But maybe it's a spiritual infirmity that you're dealing with today. God knows about that as well. And he wants to relieve you of that infirmity. So we saw her noticeable infirmity, but also her natural inability. You know, I find it interesting that the wording that God inspired Luke to use here, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself." You know, really and truly, that's the case for all of us spiritually. None of us can lift up ourselves. We can't attain heaven on our own. It's only through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But she had the inability to change her stature. The Bible says that the implication here is, could in no wise lift up herself. She tried. She tried to stand up straight. She tried. I'm sure she sought medical help. I'm sure she sought prayer help from other people. She couldn't do it. She had no ability to change her posture. You know, I'm reminded, as I was studying for this verse, I was reminded of Daniel 2:28. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. None of his people could interpret it. And so Daniel was brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And they wanted to heap praise upon Daniel. And you remember what Daniel said? He said, "But there is a God in heaven." And see, when I think about this, She couldn't help herself. She couldn't fix her physical infirmity. The doctors couldn't fix her physical infirmity. But there's a God in heaven, and he can fix her physical infirmity, and he did. But she also had no ability to change herself spiritually. Now, obviously, she was unable to do anything about her physical ailment, but she also was unable to do anything about her spiritual condition. You know, everyone would notice her physical infirmity, and they would also notice when it was fixed. But she was the only one that knew about her spiritual infirmity. No one else could know about that. And one might say, well, how do you know Jesus helped her spiritually? Maybe he just healed her physically. Well, why don't you look at verse 16. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? Listen, if Satan has a bond on someone, if someone's bound because of Satan, that's not just a physical infirmity. That's a spiritual infirmity. Because the Bible says that there's spiritual wickedness in high places, and there's constant battle going on spiritually. And for her, look back at verse 13. Well, let's look at verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Put yourself in her position. 18 years, she's walked hunched over, unable to straighten up. And today, Jesus corrects that problem. What do you think your reaction would be if you were in her position? She's suffered with this for a long time. She was able to look at things in a way that she hadn't been able to look at them in 18 years. I mean, she was able to look at people eye to eye, and she had not been able to do that for 18 years. And her response was, she glorified God. Now, I believe that she was glorifying God because of the physical infirmity being remedied. But I also believe that she was glorifying God because she was no longer bound by Satan. Satan had no more hold over her. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Physically, she was taller. But spiritually, she was unburdened now as well. And so, thirdly, so we see her noticeable infirmity, her natural inability, but also her new image. Hey, she was a new woman, both physically and spiritually. If you're saved this morning, do you remember the day you trusted Christ as your Savior? I was 9 years old, so it was a long time ago. But do you know, I still, even as a 9-year-old kid who hadn't had an opportunity to get into a bunch of worldly things, I still remember that day trusting Christ, and I felt like a burden had been lifted off my shoulders, even as a 9-year-old kid. I remember feeling that. But here, this lady, Jesus healed her. Now, remember I mentioned that the time and the place were important? They're in the synagogue, and what day is it? It's the Sabbath day. And Jesus healed this lady on the Sabbath day. How dare he? On the Sabbath day. Can you believe he would do something like that on the Sabbath day? Look at verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. You believe that? Indignation. That's anger. Answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. In essence, he's rebuking her for showing up on the Sabbath day to be healed. You got 6 other days. You should come then and get healed. Sometimes spiritual victories take place and they're unappreciated by others. Not everyone's excited about it. Do you know, if we were to see some type of movement in this church that hadn't been seen in decades, spiritually speaking, you know, not everybody would be happy about that. There might, I hope not, but there might even be somebody in here who wouldn't be happy about that. I hope that's not the case. But, you know, he sounded spiritual. Well, this is the Sabbath day. We're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. But, you know, I heard just this week, I heard a missionary in the Philippines, and he was talking about a young lady who attended their church, and late one night, they heard a knock on their door, and they opened the door, and there was this young lady standing there with a black eye and bruised face, and she said her dad had slapped her around because she had become a Christian. And his comment to her was, "This family was born Catholic, and we will die Catholic." Now, you know, that's religion. In their case, religion means more than relationship. It shouldn't be that way. You know, some people would call us religious people. And I guess in some way we are, but really we're not. We don't worship a religion. We're not part of a religion. We're followers of Christ. And, you know, Jesus encountered the same thing. I mentioned the other account using the word infirmities in John chapter 5. He healed that man on the Sabbath day, and guess what? They didn't respond any better there than they did here. But notice Jesus' answer in verse 15. "The Lord then answered him and said, 'Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?'" You hypocrite. You'll take your animals out and give them water on the Sabbath day, but this lady can't be healed on the Sabbath day? How hypocritical is that? I mean, which is more important, eternally speaking? It's obvious the answer to that question. They weren't concerned so much about the Sabbath as they were being made to look bad and not being a part of whatever was going on and receiving the credit for it. You know, we must be careful to maintain biblical standards, but we also should be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. I'm not saying we sacrifice biblical standards, but sometimes we confuse tradition with biblical standards. And, well, we do it this way because we've always done it this way. Well, that's not a good reason. I don't care what you're talking about. If it's not the best way to do it, if it's not the right way to do it, then we need to change it. But that's what they were concerned about, was their tradition. And so when we hear of God moving, what is our response? Are we rejoicing in what God's doing? Or are we jealous or angry that someone else is involved and not us? Her new image, it was unappreciated by others, but it was also undeserved by her. You know, here's the thing about this miracle that Jesus performed. She didn't do anything to deserve it. She was there, but she also obeyed. Because if you look at verse 12, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him." So all she had to do was obey. What if she had turned the other way? She wouldn't have been healed. The spirit of infirmity would not have been removed from her. But she came to him willingly and in obedience, and Jesus healed her. Do you realize that just like the woman in this passage this morning, we are totally incapable of taking care of the spiritual problem that we have? In Genesis, Adam was told, do not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. Well, Eve ate of that fruit. She gave Adam, and Adam ate of that fruit, and neither one of them dropped dead right then. Matter of fact, Adam lived to be 930 years old. So did God lie? He wasn't talking about a physical death. He was talking about a spiritual death. Adam died spiritually that day when he ate of that fruit in disobedience to God's command. And so, hence, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You and I come into this life dead spiritually. We're born in. Adeline was born into this world this week. Precious little baby. She's physically alive. But just like you and me, she's born dead spiritually. You and I were born dead spiritually. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be what? Born again. He's not talking about another physical birth. That's silly. He's talking about a spiritual birth. She had a sin problem. We have a sin problem. She had a Satan problem. We have a Satan problem. The bad news is, even when you get saved, Satan doesn't leave you alone. Now, he has no power over you. He can't take you to hell with him anymore once you've trusted Christ as your Savior. But he can sure help you mess up your life here if you let him. But, you know, she didn't do anything to deserve this healing. She didn't earn favor in some way by doing some deed where she got a reward or payment or whatever for what she did. She simply obeyed when Jesus called her to him. Maybe this morning there's someone in here and Jesus is calling you to him today. Maybe he's saying, come here. You know you're not saved. You know you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And today, he's saying, come to me. Will you step out in obedience and obey that command? Or will you resist? Will you stay under the bondage of Satan for more years? You know, we all have a spiritual infirmity that must be dealt with, or else we'll die in our sins and go to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse is seen at ball games. It's seen everywhere. It's very familiar, but it's also very true. Jesus Christ loved you and me so much that he came to this earth. He willingly left heaven's throne. He came to this earth. He died in our place. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about compassion. There's no greater display of compassion than Jesus hanging on the cross, saying about the people for whose sins he's up there, because he had none of his own, and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus died for your sins and for mine. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you get that settled this morning? If you're here this morning and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, maybe spiritually you're bowed together. Maybe you've been dealing with something for a long, long time. He wants to release you from that bondage today as well. Whatever it might be, I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But God knows what we're all going through. Would you stand with me this morning, please, as our musician comes? I just want to ask you this morning, If the Lord's calling you to Him because you've never trusted Him as Savior, I'll be down here at the front. There are others in this building who can take the Word of God, not just my thoughts or my ideas, but take the Word of God and show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. And we'd be honored to do that today. I'd ask you to consider that. If you do know Christ as your Savior, and God's laid something on your heart, I'd ask that you respond as well to that. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you the lessons that we can learn from it. Father, I pray that you bless this time of invitation this morning.